I'm speaking this morning on the subject, the seven fire starters, how to start a personal revival, how to start a personal revival. So there are three levels of Christian fervency, and I want to read from Revelation 5, from the verse 14 to the verse 16. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So this is Jesus speaking to John the Revelator. Verse 15, I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Now, so you belong to, so the Christian life is about how hot or how cold you are. When you go to hospital, the first thing that the nurse would do before you see the doctor, or among the first things that the nurse would do before you see the doctor, is to check your temperature. It tells the doctor something. When your temperature is hot, in the physical, when your temperature is hot, higher than 37 degrees, if you are 38, 39, 40, it means you are sick. Okay, and once the doctor sees that temperature, he knows that you are sick. Now they have to investigate what is wrong with you. But in the realms of the spirit, the hotter you are, the healthier you are. Do you understand? The hotter you are, the healthier you are. So there are three levels of temperatures in the Christian faith. One, those who are hot. Two, those who are lukewarm. And three, those who are cold. Just as you can tell a healthy person by the person's behavior. You know, you can meet somebody, how the person can carry a load, how the person is walking, and then you conclude this person is very healthy. And then you can also meet somebody who cannot even move his body, cannot even get up from a chair without making a painful noise. You know, all those things. Then you look at the person and say, this person is not healthy at all. So there are certain physical manifestations that you see to determine whether somebody is healthy or not. And I've just said that the hotter you are in the realms of the spirit, the healthier you are. Here are a few characteristics to show that you are hot in the realms of the spirit. A consistent prayer life. Active service in the house of God. A consistent Bible studies life. Active evangelistic life. Living holy life. And absolutely committed to the things of God. Showing love to people. These things, when we see in you, we know that you are a hot Christian. You don't pray because you feel like praying. You pray because you love the Lord and you want to communicate with Him. You don't study the Bible because you feel like studying the Bible. You study the Bible because it is an obligation when you are a hot Christian. So hot Christians pray every day. Hot Christians study the Bible every day. Hot Christians bring souls to church every Sunday. So somebody's asking, Daddy, but I prayed, and then I prayed this morning, but I did not bring a soul to church. Does it mean I am not a hot Christian? That's what I'm telling you. Because being a hot Christian is a package. You can't pick one and leave the other. Okay? So when you were a hot Christian, you evangelize, you study the word, you pray, you serve the Lord. And these things are not something you do when you feel like. You do them consistently because you are a hot Christian. And then there is the lukewarm Christian. The lukewarm Christian, now you do it when you feel like. If you don't feel like praying the whole week, you don't pray. If you feel like having sex, whether you are married or not, you will go and have it. If you feel like reading the Bible, you read. If you don't feel like reading it, you don't read. If you feel like telling somebody about Jesus, you tell the person. If you don't feel like it. So when you are a lukewarm Christian, your whole Christian life depends on how you feel. You are more sensual than spiritual. Do you understand? You are just sensual. You are not spiritual. And then the third level of your Christian fervency is those who are cold. These people, you have to actually call them to come to church. And you know, there are people here who have been with me for years. But now we have to even follow them up to come to church. Because they have become cold. They have become very, very cold. They can stay for 1 week without prayer. In fact, you can see cold Christians. Once I start preaching, they feel like going out to make a call. Once I start preaching, this thing I'm doing is very boring. Give them 15 minutes, they will sleep. Oh, yeah. They will just sleep. For them, prayer is a burden. Bible studies is a burden. Coming to church in the morning like this is a burden. Everything spiritual is a burden for them. But if you like, let's close this service. And any other thing we do that is not spiritual, you see them. Haven't you seen somebody in service sleeping whilst I'm preaching? Then immediately we share the grace and the service ends. The person is alive. And he's talking to someone here, and he'll move here and go and talk to someone here, and he'll move here and go and talk to someone here. And the person is not in a hurry at all to go anywhere. The person will not sleep again. No. The person will stay till around 12 midnight. So why was the person sleeping for just an hour of preaching? Why was the person is cold? It's a cold Christian. The cold Christians, when they sin, they don't feel guilty. They don't even listen. There are cold Christians here. There are people who slept in their boyfriend's houses, and they are here with their boyfriend today. They don't care. There is no guilt. They are all right. Yeah, they are here right now. Shall I call you out? Amen. You are the one I'm talking about. Raise your hands. Is it because they are cold? They don't even feel guilty. They won't raise their hands. They're coldest. You know, there are cold pastors who can even sleep with girls in their office just before sermon and come and take the microphone and preach. And the power of God will still come. Because God is no repenter of calling. God has not repented of his calling. When he calls you, he has called you. But that doesn't mean that he will not judge you. But the Bible says in the last day, many shall say, didn't we work miracles in your name? Yeah, he gave you the gift of miracles. He did not take it from you. But you work miracles, but you live in sin. There are a lot of cold Christians. The church is full of very, very cold Christians. Some of them, the temperature is zero. So they have zero prayer life. You see, if your prayer life is zero, your Bible study life is zero, your evangelism life is zero, your service life, you don't serve in anything in church, is zero. Everything you do is zero. Even praise and worship that others are singing, that you are supposed to be dancing with us, you just stand there like this. You look at there can be praise and worship going on, and you see somebody has done like this. Even to open your mouth to sing is zero. If like, let's close the service, let the person sit in the car and put a music on, Shatawale, Kofi Kinata, who again? Stone Boy, Black Sherry. The person will be knocking like this. And be driving from church. Cold. When you are cold Christian, spiritual things don't excite you. Because you are cold. And some, are, so you are 0 degrees. Some have even gone minus zero, minus one, minus two, minus three, minus four. Those people, they don't even come to church. They become very critical of the church. May the Lord warm you up. Now, I want to show you the 7 things that make you cold. And then the 8 things that makes you cold, that make you cold. And then I'll show you why the devil wants you to be cold. And then I'll show you how to heat up, how to set fire to your Christian life. 8 things that makes you, that can make you cold. Number one, problems. Problems. So when you become a Christian and you are on fire for the Lord, the devil wants to make sure that he kills that fire. Remember the case of Job? The devil said to God, Job is saving you and is on fire for you because you are protecting him. God said, okay, I've taken the protection. Go and attack him. So sometimes you go through problems and the devil aims those problems to just cut off your prayer life, cause you to be depressed, blame your pastor, blame your church, blame so many people around you, and then you even become discouraged. So all these tithes I've paid. So my nephews are coming to church. I told them when they come late, I will announce it to the church. Today when we close, nobody should come and see me in the office. Okay. So the devil gives you all manner of problems. He brings all manner of problems in your life. And the whole idea of a problem is to tempt you to give up on your faith. So I want to tell you right now, every financial problem you are going through is aimed at causing you to lose your fervency. Every marital problem you are going through, every professional problems you are going through is aimed at causing you to lose your fervency. So if we begin to question the faithfulness of God, you begin to say, I've been paying my tithe and yet I don't see anything. I have prayed and I don't see anything. Then the devil is succeeding in using that problem to reduce your fervency. The devil can use problems to distract you from God, and your focus is no longer on the God that can solve your problems, but your focus becomes your problems. The purpose of temptation is to cause you to lose your fervency in the Lord. But sometimes God himself will take you through a certain process. Will take you through a certain process. God may allow a problem in your life because he himself wants to use that process to build your faith. So the devil uses problems to tempt you. God uses the problems to test you. The purpose of temptation is to cause your demotion. The purpose of testing and trials is to cause your promotion. So everything you are going through today, if God did not permit it, it will not come to you. The same problem that Satan is using to tempt you is the same problem that God is using to process you. And the purpose of process is to add value to you. So you have to be very positive about the problems that you go through and confront it and believe God. The Bible says that if any one of you in trouble, he should pray. If your troubles are not increasing your prayer life, then the devil is succeeding in cutting your fervency, reducing your fervency, and to make you cold. If you falter in times of trouble, then where is your strength? If in times of trouble, you are giving up on prayer, You are giving up on your service to the Lord. You are giving up on your support for missions and evangelism. You are giving up on prayer. You are giving up on loving the Lord. You are giving up on church attendance. In times of trouble, then where is your strength? You have never been strong. The things that the devil also uses to make us cold are people. Are people. No, we come to church with a certain expectation. Expectation of the pastor, expectation of the congregation, the elders. And then suddenly you begin to see that these people are not saints like you thought. And then you feel somebody has done something to me. Somebody has gossiped about me. And that thing can kill your fervency. And then, of course, you need to pay a price. Many people feel that the promises of God are there for them to take. But the promises of God goes with a lot of price that you have to pay. Most of the promises God will say, if you do this and this, then I will do this for you. When you're not willing to pay the price of your miracle, of your testimony, the devil uses that to kill your faith. Then pride. Pride. Sometimes when God blesses us and we become successful, we begin to substitute success for spirituality. Especially when you don't pray like someone else, you don't serve like someone else, yet you have prospered more than the person, you begin to say that it doesn't take prayer for God to bless you. It doesn't take service for God. I have not done all those things, but look at who I am. Sometimes don't abuse the grace of God. God has been gracious to you. So don't allow your triumphs to bring pride to your heart. Priorities. It is very easy for you to say, God understands that I have children. God understands that my work schedules are tight. God understands that my husband is demanding. God understands that my wife is demanding. God understands that when I go to work, I don't close. God does not understand that. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, hate your mother, hate your father, hate your husband, hate your wife, hate your children, hate your own life, and follow me. He places himself first. He places himself first. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. He places himself first. And he does that without apology to anybody. So you cannot say that you are too busy to serve him. When the devil makes you busy, I'm asking you, those of you who use smartphones, well, iPhone, today when you go look at your screen time, how many hours you spent in the night on your phone, and you will see that you are not busy at all. You will see that you are not busy at all. Just that God is not your priority. God is not your priority. When other things come before God in your life, the devil will succeed in making your Christian life cold. And I'll show you very soon how dangerous it is to try to create a cold environment around you. Pain. People who offend you. Church is not a place for saints. If you don't let go pain in your heart against people in the house of God, the devil will use it to make you cold. Then promiscuity, sexual sins. One of the things you were not likely to recover from if you were a Christian is to engage yourself in sexual sins, fornication, adultery, masturbation, pornography watching, homosexuality, lesbianism. Once you engage yourself in these things, it's very difficult to recover. Can I now show you why that the devil wants you to become good? Why does the devil want you to become cold? So, jump from here, go to the next slide. Why does the devil want you to become cold? Acts chapter 22, verse 1 to 6. Hear this carefully. Why does the devil want you to become cold? Hear this. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the Icelanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must have been a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effect. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. So Paul was a prisoner, and he was being transported by a ship, and they had a storm. So they managed to get to an island called Malta. And it was cold. It was cold. And we all know that when a snake comes to your house, the snake looks for the coldest place to hide. Snakes and scorpions, they look for the coldest place in your house to hide. So because it was cold, a snake was there. And then Paul lighted a fire, started a fire. And when he took a stick and put it in the fire, a snake came out, driven out by the heat. And the snake bit Paul. And the people said Paul was going to die. But he did not die. Now let me tell you something. The devil wants you to be cold because the devil operates around cold Christians. When in your house, the voice of prayer, midnight cries are not being heard in your house, the devil comes in and operates in your house. If you and your husband are not praying together, you are welcoming the devil. If you are not waking your children up for prayer, you are welcoming the devil. If you are not joining the church prayer meetings, you are welcoming the devil. If you are sleeping, you be on phone till midnight and sleep, and so your morning devotion is canceled, you are welcoming the devil. The devil operates well in an atmosphere that is cold. And don't say that, and Paul, the serpent could not kill Paul, and so no serpent will kill me. Please, Paul started a fire. A man that starts fire, the devil cannot attack. A man that starts fire, the devil cannot attack. Your Christian life is too cold. Witches and wizards are comfortable around you. Evil, comfortable around you. Sinful people are comfortable around you. All manner of friends. Listen, when I was in secondary school, I had left school because we had closed. I was just in form two. And I remembered I had left something in my on my table, so I was coming back to take it. Whilst I was getting to my classroom, I heard confusion, commotion, people running, hiding under tables. When I inquired what was going on, apparently when the school closed, my few male classmates were doing lipstick and eyeshadows, because they have boyfriends in the other classes and they were going to meet. So lipstick and eyeshadows. And they heard that Gideon was coming back, and they wanted to hide their sins from me. My mate, I was not the owner of the school. We're hiding, girls, we're hiding under tables. Hiding under tables. Your close friends can sin openly before you. They have no shame sinning. You are so cold that anything, anywhere, anybody, anywhere can do anything around you. You are supposed to be the light of your world. See, when you are burning, when you are burning for the Lord, light in the Bible days, light in the Bible days is the brightness that comes from fire. Brightness that comes from fire. So when Jesus said you are the light of the world, he's saying that you will so much be on fire that your brightness will conquer your world, will conquer the dark world of sin around you. Is that the kind of Christian you are? The devil's number one agenda is to make you cold so that he can operate around you. Today you need to wake up. It's an inferno Sunday. You need to wake up. When I ask you to pray, pray as if this is your last prayer you are going to pray before Jesus comes. When you see your prayer life is down, your Bible studies life is down, your love for coming to the house of God is down, if you see that your evangelism and your testimony is down, your service to God is down, please note that the devil is about to attack you. Please note that a serpent is coming into your coldness. Please note that an evil is hovering around you. Please note that something is happening around you. I watched a video of how people die early because they are inactive. A video of how sitting down or lying down for a long time without actively engaging yourself in something will kill you early. And that is how it is in the realms of the spirit. To be a dormant Christian, to be an inactive Christian, to be a Christian who does not pray, who does not evangelize, who does not share the word, who does not study the word, you are creating a very good environment for the devil to operate against you. I pray for you that fire will start around you today. Your amen is like you were a very cold Christian. Your amen is like you were a lukewarm Christian. Your amen must sound like you are a hot Christian. Every hot Christian will be on his or her feet to shout amen. If you want to be a successful Christian, here are now the seven fire starters. I want to show you the seven fire starters. You should be on fire for the Lord. You should be known to be someone who is on fire for the Lord. How many of you know about this picture that you are seeing on the screen? Mommy has her two hands up. Kobomi used to tell me a story. You know, Ekwapim Hills, mommy comes from Latte, can get very cold, very cold, very cold. So early in the morning to go to school, your mother gathers firewood and start fire and put a bowl on it and pours water inside, and the cold water begins to boil and begins to become hot. Today, I want you to do what our mothers used to do. I remember going to school for the first time. I think we were in Naulanga, Mama, isn't it? And I remember how my mother had this thing with hot water. And every child you come, they fetch your hot water into your this thing. It was cold, but we survived because our mothers provided us with hot water. I'm providing you with hot water. I am putting you, I'm starting fire, and I'm providing you with hot water. Oh my God. Mommy used to tell me, the mother would do kokonte, eh? Very hot. But the Kapi region can be very, very cold. The mother would do kokonte, very hot, and then everybody eat. Everybody, and you were eating hot kokonte. If you don't eat hot kokonte, the cold will kill you. Remember when our mothers used to put a coal pot with fire in it, and then we all gathered around it because it was too cold? That's what I'm doing right now. I'm starting a coal pot, fire in the coal pot. I want you to gather around it. I want you to gather around it. And I want you to be a hot Christian. you are too cold. And I'm behaving like our mothers who didn't want us to die from the coldness. You are almost about to die spiritually, and I have appeared with fire. Give the Lord praise, everyone. Can a hot Christian give the Lord praise somewhere? Can a hot Christian give the Lord praise somewhere? Can a hot Christian give the Lord praise somewhere? Can a hot Christian give the Lord praise somewhere? Let me show you the seven fire starters. I'm praying for you that you will leave this service revived. The seven fire starters. Number one, the word. The word. The word. The word. The word. If you want to be on fire, the word of God will keep you on fire. And I will tell you why most Christians are not on fire. Because we are not preaching the word. We are not teaching the word. We are not studying the word. The word, Jeremiah 23 verse 29. It's not my word like fire, declares the Lord. It's not my word like fire, declares the Lord. And then we move on. Look at this scripture. Luke 24 verse 32. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Jesus encountered two people when he resurrected, and they didn't recognize it was him, and he was walking with them on the road and sharing the word with them. When they noticed it was him, he vanished. And the people said, wasn't our heart burning with fire when he opened the word to us? If you want your heart to be set on fire, you must study the word. You must study the word. Look at this. Jeremiah 20 verse 9. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is like his word in my heart. His word in my heart. His word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Anybody, see, the test of any Christian who is studious is that you cannot hold God's word in you. You will share it. You will preach it. You will tell someone about it because it's so much fire. You know the problem I have with mommy? We have only one problem. She thinks I am too tired and I'm doing too many programs and I need to put a break a little. I've been trying. But if I don't preach for a week, I can't sleep. There is some fire in me. I need to preach it. When God gives you a revelation, you cannot hold it. Men of God, it is for me, it is an indictment on you, a man of God who has not preached for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and you are all right. You are all right. I said I was 16 years old when I was a leader of a home cell. The home cell was on Thursday evenings. When I closed the home cell on Thursday evening, I have a revelation for the next Thursday. And I can't wait. I couldn't hold it. I will go from house to house. I will meet with my friends. I will share the word. I will move from there, share the word. I'll move from there, share the word. And people that were cold, when they see me, they start running. This boy has come to worry us for this revelation. He's come to tell us about his revelation. I've been preaching everywhere. You see me, a teenager, Laboni Secondary School. You see me, Wesley Grammar. You see me on the middle schools in my community at the time. You see me on the street. You see me in the bus. You see me at Don Broadcast. You see me everywhere. You cannot hold God's word if it is the inside of you. It is fire that energizes you to work for him. Do you understand? Can I tell you something? If we start fire on a wet wood, nothing happens. Too many wet woods. Do you know why you are looking for prophecy than the sermon, than a word? Do you know why you prefer prophecies to preaching? It's because you are a wet wood. The fire do not last. Wet wood. Start fire. Study the word. Can I show you? Study the word. Practice the word. Pray the word. Preach the word. And prophesy the word. It will set you on fire. It will set you on fire. So I go home, I tell mommy, when I was preaching today, this person was cold, this person. There are some people when you are preaching, the way they are even sitting down, they are wet fire. Most of the fire in revival starts from the outside. The only fire that starts from the inside is the word. Deacons, elders, church leaders, if you have been in this church for the last 30 days and you have not preached the word to anybody, your iPhone is useless. Your Galaxy Note 100 is useless. You have Note 100. It's useless if you are a Christian and you cannot use your top camera that you use to take unnecessary pictures and video. You cannot use it to share God's word with the world around you. It is useless. God must be your priority. Preach the word. All the young men around me will tell you, when I catch them in 5 minutes, before they leave me, they are inspired. I will share something with them. I will tell them something from the mind of God. Study the word. That is how revival begins. Revival begins. It's a personal decision. It's a personal decision. No pastor can lead a Christian life for you. No pastor can lead a Christian life for you. I meet people who ask me, man of God, what is the Lord saying? I say, everything God is saying is in his word. Everything God is saying is in his word. He will never bypass his word and say something to me that is not in his word. Study the word. Practice the word. Pray the word. Preach the word. Prophesy the word. And you will be on fire. Man of God, I want to study the word, but it's difficult for me. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. In the King James, it says, desire the word of God. Desire it. Desire it. You must pray. You must crave for it. Pray that God, let me desire your word. Let me desire your word. Let me desire your word. And like Jeremiah, I want to say your word in my heart is like fire. And it is like fire shut up in my bones. Like fire shut up in my bones. The word of God must be fire in your bones. And no sickness can live with the word of God as fire in your bones, in your body. He sent for his word, and his word healed them all. His word can heal that disease. As I'm preaching it right now, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, it is healing a disease in your life right now. I don't joke with his word. I don't joke with his word. I was in Legon last night to talk to our center there. And I was telling them, I have been born again for 41 years. Some of you, my age, my born again age is older than your father. And these 41 years, there have never been a day I have not read the scripture. There have never been a day I have not heard preaching. There have never been a day I have not preached to someone. Even if it's not in the pulpit, I've told someone. Within these 41 years, the average preaching, the normal, the week I don't preach at all is one. In most cases, I preach 3 times a week. Formal and informal. The devil has given up on me. He knows that the word this man carries is too much. I should run prayer meetings like the Battle of Champions. And when that season passed, the Battle of Champions season passed, and people will come to me and say, nowadays, that doesn't take us to retreat. That doesn't organize prayer, this thing. Nowadays, we don't pray like before. Then I realized that all those years, I was pouring, I was putting fire on wet firewood. Because if you have caught that fire, you should be able to survive on your own. You still want me to lead a Christian life for you? You still want me to come here and lead a prayer meeting before you pray? Number two, the second thing that starts fire is prayer. When you study the word, you must also pray. 2 Chronicles 7:1. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven. If your prayer is genuine, it will attract fire. So if you want to set your heart on fire, you want to set your life on fire, if you want to set something on fire, commit yourself to prayer. And don't just pray. Pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Don't just pray. Pray continually. Pray continually. Start today. Continue tomorrow. Continue the next day. The next 30 days. No day without prayer. The next 60 days. No day without prayer. The next 90 days. No day without prayer. The next 120 days. No day without prayer. The next 160 days. No day without prayer. And by the time you realize, you have gone 365 days. And every day you have prayed. Pray continually. Pray continually. Pray continually. You are so cold, and the devil is having a field day around you. The work of your hands is going, your health is going, your marriage is going, your finances are going, everything is going around you. And because you are so cold, you cannot even sense that the devil is at work against you. You cannot even sense that the devil is at work against you. You cannot even sense that the devil is at work against you. Wake up, brother, and pray. Wake up, sister, and pray. Wake up, brother, and pray. Wake up, sister, and pray. Wake up and pray. The devil is at your door. He's knocking. He's knocking. The next 24 hours without prayer, he will open it. The devil is at your door. He's knocking. The next 12 hours without prayer, he will open it. If you wake up this dawn and you don't pray, you are giving him access. You are giving him access. Number three, wood. Proverbs 26:20. Without wood, a fire goes out. You see, the concept of wood. Our mothers used to bring together different woods. Then they put them together to give them a higher, bigger light, bigger fire, bigger fire. No single wood is enough to give you enough fire to stir up a revival. That's why I thank God for Pastor Kobe, who took the concept of 11:38 p.m. and started a midnight prayer. You see what is going on with the midnight prayer, the 11:38 prayer. Some of you have not even heard. The way you are looking at my face, I haven't even heard about it. That revival is taking place. The revival is taking place in the church amongst the youth. See, so Pastor Kobe, Pastor Titi Ofe, who are involved, the pastoral associates, Pastor Sammy and the rest, they are praying on Zoom. They gather 50, 80 people, young people praying. Do you know what that means? It means one firewood. Some burns better than the other. So you need to connect yourself to somebody who is already burning so you can catch the fire. All your friends are cold people who gossip about pastors, who gossip about your pastor and his wife, and then you are there gossiping. You can have a friend coming to you and you can talk from morning to evening. No prayer, no scripture, no exhortation. Eat, talk, gossip, and then you disperse. What kind of behavior is that? Do you think you can grow and be in the Lord and keep your salvation by those kind of associations? You need people already on fire. When I came to this area first, a pastor became my friend and heard that for a long time I've been visiting the Achimota Forest. I leave the Sprinters Road by 5:30 a.m. By 5 something, I'm at the gate. I used to be sometimes, most of the times, the first person to enter the forest when it is opened. This pastor came to our service one day, saw the power of God, and then he said, "Man of God, I want to go to the forest with you. Every dawn when I'm driving past, you'll be standing somewhere, I'll pick him." After a number of years of praying together, he told me, "Man of God, do you know that I learned how to pray for long by an association with you? And there are people here who can testify that associating with me had made them better Christians. Better Christians by associating with me. If your association with that brother will not make you a better Christian, you better just disconnect and be alone and look for another person. It takes a collective firewood for fire to start and become big." If the women fellowship are not becoming a fireplace for you, disconnect. If the youth fellowship is not becoming a fireplace for you, disconnect. If the men's fellowship is not becoming a fireplace for you, disconnect. It is not a place for sensual thinking. It's a place for spiritual thinking. It must grow you. It must build you. It must grow you. It must build you. You need to be part of a group of firewood to grow. Let me show you one single firewood that I love so much. Zechariah 3, 1 to 2. "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him." Can I have my phone, please? "To accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. It's not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?'" When you put a group of firewood together and you light it, one of them is so powerful, can sustain fire for a long time. Can sustain fire for a long time. So you see one woman from the other house in the village will come and tell Auntie Kia, "I need fire for my firewood." Auntie Kia will pull that stick and give it to Auntie Ya. Auntie Ya will go to a house and start fire with that firewood. And another woman, Auntie Kia, will come to Auntie Ya and say, "Can I get a fire?" They take the same fire and go and light it. And go and light it. And very soon, the whole village, every house has fire burning because one stick snatched from the fire is lighting other firewoods. I want you in this church to be that one stick snatched from the fire. To be that one stick snatched from the fire. Amongst your friends, be that one stick snatched from the fire. Be that one stick snatched from the fire and stir up a revival in your house, be it. In your marriage, tell your husband, tell your wife, tell your children, tell your parents, I am the wood snatched from the fire. Wake everybody up. If they are not going to wake up, make noise with your tongues. Any born again believer cannot hear another believer praying and sleep. Make noise in the house. Let your mother say, Ekuya, you are making noise. Tell your mother, this is not noise. This is tones. It is not noise. It's a sweet sound in the ears of God. I am not making noise. I am praying. Noise is a meaningless sound. This is not a meaningless sound. Every word I'm saying has a meaning. Kaliba leba sondaya. Kaluma leba leba shondelebe. Halesh. You have to be the voice crying in the wilderness on behalf of a family, on behalf of a group of friends, on behalf of a marriage, on behalf of a children, on behalf of a church. You need to be that voice. And when your voice is lifted, you become like the sticks snatched from the fire. Whoever comes around you will catch the fire. Whoever passes around you will catch the fire. Shout, catch the fire. Kababa shandalabaya. Ale malaba shoka brashaya. Ale malaba bababaya. Ale brashandalababaya. Kale brababaya. Make me the stitch. The stick stands from the fire. Rise on your feet. Let me end here. Kale brashandalababaya. Lift up your voice and speak in some tongues. The Lord make me that. Make me that. That stick. Snatch from the fire. Make me that stick snatch from the fire. Pray like you mean it. Pray like you are a hot Christian. Pray like you mean it. Clap your hands, stamp your feet, and lift up your voice in prayer. And lift up your voice in prayer. And lift up your voice in prayer.